Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. How about we stand up just for a moment and greet one another? Stretch, bend over and touch your toes. Okay, not so much the toes. I have an announcement that was given to me a few moments ago. As you all quiet down and take your seats, there's a fundraising dinner for Kevin Kennedy. He's having a liver transplant Sunday, July 13th, at Lucasville Masonic Lodge. It's a spaghetti dinner. It's $6. And so I will get this to Steve. And I'm sure it will be in the bulletin. But anyway, there's that. It's good to see you all this morning. It's really good to be here. Let's pray together. Father, it's great to be together. It's always good to be with you, to know that you're with us. You're walking with us, leading us, guiding us. Lord, blessing. You're so good in your great love. And Father, part of your beautiful plan, your blessed plan for us is family. And here we are today, being that. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us to do it more and to do it better. I don't know. I know that we can't do it more. I guess we can't become more family than we are. But maybe better in you, deeper and richer. And today I pray that you would bless us as we hear your word. Move me out of the way and speak well and clearly to all of us and encourage us well, Father. We love you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I have a reading I would like for you to do with me here. It's 1 John chapter 3. And if you would share with me or together with me in this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Now say it like you mean it, like smile. Look around. I mean, look around you at this motley crew you're children of God with, and smile, and let's try again. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Okay, now, let's think about it like this. Say, for instance, God in heaven made a way that you could be his children. And he heard you telling somebody that you got to be his child. You're blessed to be his child. And because you know that it's God of heaven and he hung the moon and the stars and everything else, you'd be like, I got to tell you something you're not going to believe. Now let's do that with this. Because this is, see, there's exclamation points in this, which means there's something in it. Kind of lean into it, okay? Ready? Because if you don't do it well this time, we're going to have to stand and do it. Ready? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Amen. Man, that's good. That's so good, we need to sing it. Nick, why don't you come up here with me for a moment? And you take the lead. This wasn't planned. This is totally off the cuff.
I'm going to use this mic.
Okay. And I'm not going to use a mic for everybody's sake.
Yeah.
He's
Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has
given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen. And I'm sure you're thankful I didn't have my mic on because I messed that up. And that's what I am. It's my spiritual gift. I'm like a messer-upper of things, especially like that. Let's pray again. This is fun. Lord, thanks. Thanks for the love that we could be called your children. You are so good, and you're so good to us. Help us to remember God and know deep, deep, deep inside, that you speak the truth because you are the truth, and we are yours. We love you, and it's in your son's name. Amen. I don't know anything that should, well, I know there's nothing that should inspire you more and that inspires me more than to know deep inside that you are a child of God. I mean that you really are a child of God. If you have given yourself to him, if you've decided that I'm not living for me anymore and given yourself over in baptism, Scripture says you are sealed with his spirit. You are his child. You are in his family. And there's an interesting implication with all of that. If you are a child of God, look around you, man. We're your kin. We're your kinfolk. I mean, we are family. You're my brothers and my sister. You can't get rid of me. I mean, you're stuck with this. My physical brothers can dismiss me on occasion and say, get over it. You smell, you're a jerk, I don't like you. But the family of God, man. I mean, I would that my physical brothers and sisters were all children of God, but the family of God, you're not getting rid of this. You're stuck with me. We're together. So look around for a minute and look at this motley crew, this blessing that God has given you, and breathe. Breathe in. You are your home. You're among friends. This is family. Listen to what Scripture says in Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself teaches or testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And listen, I mean, the audacity that you get to live with spiritually, that you get to think, I am a co-heir with Jesus. He's my brother. We are family. It's not just you, but it's him as well. And that's supposed to mean something deep in us. It's supposed to mean something really deep. And we have even a deeper press about how important this family and that we really are his family. In Matthew chapter 12, 46 through 50, this is talking about Jesus, and it says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my brother? And who are my brothers? Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, they are my mother and sister and brother. And you see Jesus teaching and speaking, and his mom and his brothers are outside going, we need to talk to you for a minute. And they're like, hey, your parents are your families out there, your mom, your family. And he's going, no, my family is right here. And that is a wonderful blessing for all of us. It's especially a great blessing for those who have struggled with family. And we're not going into all that, but the spiritual family is an incredible blessing for all, especially those who've struggled. What does it mean to be family? That's a pretty big press there, okay? What does it mean to be family? I was thinking and reading about family traditions and things like that that really build us and help make us family, and there are way too many of them to start into. But there's so much that makes us family, shared experience, a home, parents, and all of that stuff. But what happens in family is more what I'd like to get to this morning. What happens in our families, or what's supposed to happen, the ideal situation would be that we learn the great truths of life, right? I mean, in family, we're supposed to learn the great truths in life. We're supposed to find inspiration, encouragement to step out and be. We're supposed to be taught to live well, to love, to hope, to believe, to be brave and bold. Family is really supposed to be a place of freedom and safety, security, a place where we're nurtured. The scripture up here on the walls, fathers, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. This is family. This is what's supposed to happen in your home and my home. It's a safe place, but it's not safe at all, right? Protected from the evil one, protected from insecurities and doubts and abuses and everything else, but alive in teaching children and one another to be brave and bold. I got your back. You step out. You believe, and believe well, because God has made a great big world with a whole lot of folks, and he wants you to be part of setting that place on fire for him. Family is where we learn all of those things. Family is supposed to be the place we learn about love and life, about hope and freedom in Jesus. It's supposed to be where we're taught who we are, about spiritual gifts and all that really matters. Moms and dads are supposed to be hanging out with kids, and kids hanging out with moms and dads, and these truths just naturally oozing out of us because of family. The great beauty that is supposed to be there. Isn't that incredible? But that's not the reality so often, is it? We live in this fleshly existence where there's so much selfishness and busyness and distraction in the world. We so often are so caught up in a life of television or internet or anything else that we hardly spend any time together like that. And instead of the home or the family being a place where we're taught about God and we're taught about the great truths in life, and a parent is leading a child in the way it should go, too often, it's just about, let's just raise these children and try to get them there alive. Let's do, and what we end up doing is whatever makes them quiet, whatever helps them be quiet. Feed me, there's food, I'm bored, there's the TV, I want some friends, well, we'll put you in a league, and another one, and another one, and another one, and the whole thing becomes dad's the great chauffeur, and mom's the great maid, and kids grow up never having a clue, no clue, about the great truths of life. How awesome it is to be their parents, because you get to watch them wake up in Jesus and into life. It's such a powerful thing, such a beautiful thing. And so all of that that family is supposed to be, it's supposed to translate naturally into this place, right? It's supposed to be just a natural translation into the church family, the spiritual family. All of those great truths, right? We're supposed to learn to live well here. We're supposed to learn to love and hope and believe and be brave, not because this is where you learn it first, but it's reinforced here. We're learning to live together even more so and more deeply. But instead, it doesn't happen like that so often. Instead, we forget the loving and the life and all of that stuff, and we end up being folks who just say, feed me, here's some food, I'm bored, but let's do it this way. Well, I want to, and we become chauffeurs and taxi drivers and maid services and everything else, just trying to keep one another at bay. And God is saying, man, this family thing is supposed to be so much more than that. This is the place you learn the great truths about life. This is the place you're supposed to learn to jump and fly and breathe deeply in Jesus and learn to be adventurous and bold and brave. And so often we just kind of click on and say, well, is Jamie going to be very entertained today? Is Steve going to get this thing going today? Or do we need another channel? Or do I need to just go ahead and check out in my phone or whatever? And we need to learn. We need to be taught. It's a different story, and it's a wonderful story. Listen to what Jesus says about family, about you and all of us. In John 13, 34 and 35, he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, this story was never about me. And what happens in family is that it becomes so about the individual that the team or the unit is gone. And a family life is supposed to be so healthy for the children, but for the family as well. The scripture says that God brought the father and mother together. And you know, in that ceremony, part of the I do's are, until death do us part, right? That's a beautiful part. I'm looking at Tyler and Katie, who was blessed to do their wedding a few weeks ago, and it was really fun. And you all remember those, until death do us part. And somewhere in this family thing, it's us and these wonderful parents with these great dreams. We're blessed to have children, and we're supposed to be dreaming great spiritual dreams for them, that they would raise them and all of that. And all of that translates over into the church family, right? All of that translates so well. There's a great dream here. God had a great dream for this place, for this house, for these folks, for you and for me. Excuse me. And his call was that we wouldn't just live for ourselves, but deeper for him and for one another. That the father would be blessed because of the children, that the children would be blessed because of the father, and it would go back and forth across the aisles and VBS and church and everywhere. Everywhere you go when you see one another, on the soccer field, at the supermarket, at school, that family has shown up and God is honored because of the way we treat and love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And he said in the last verse, John 13, that by this all men will know you're my disciples. This love, this, I always say with Kendall and some of the cousins and some other folks, when you know, I love you, and I like you. And that's kind of what these verses are really saying. It's more than just I have a great feeling of wanting you to do well, but I enjoy you. I find you compelling. I want well for you. I want good things for you. And I really love you in all of that too. And there's something about all of that that the world is so hungry for. And that's why Jesus says, and this is how all men will know that you're my disciples. Another thing that's supposed to be happening in our family is that it's not just that you're a part of a family. You can be baptized into Jesus. You can join the family and not be a follower of God, and not be a follower, a disciple of Jesus, because it means more than just a birth. It means that you're involved. You're intentionally involved in pursuing. And it doesn't mean that you're just everywhere they go, you just happen to be there. It means with your heart, with your intentions, you follow his life. I want to be like my dad when I grow up. I want to be like my mom when I grow up. You know that feeling. That's what he's saying, that all men will know you're my disciples. And they'll know something about this family. They can have it too. They can have this family too if inside this family we learn to love one another like he called us to love. If we learn to experience family deeply like he called us to experience family. The early church did this very well. In Acts 2:44, scripture grabs this. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. How is that possible? I mean, it talks about how they had land and others didn't have anything, so they'd sell their land and they put it at the apostles' feet. It talks about how they were teaching with this fire and passion and power, and they all had everything in common. In Acts 2:44, I just said that. In Acts 4, it talks about the same thing, that they all were together and had everything in common. The two different passages, two different verses, grabbing the same truth, written a little different way, but that they were all together, that they were like-minded. That's what it says, that they were one in mind, one in spirit, one in purpose. How does that happen? I mean, I like baseball. Some of you guys like football. I like football too. It's not the best sport. I like golf. You like soccer. You like cooking. I like eating. How does all this work? How does Jesus bring all this together? How do we be family? Interesting that in Jesus' close crew, his posse, his friends or whatever, he had Simon the Zealot, who was going to restore, and Matthew, a tax collector, who was a great betrayer of. How did they work? How did he bring together these two radically different positions? But Jesus calls us to family, the right way. You give up you. You get lost in you. You give it up. Don't be lost there. Be lost in Jesus, the greater call, the greater life. And you know this. Just think for a moment, just for a moment. How you feel when you're selfish and chasing yourself. And chase for a moment the darkest place you get when you do that. You know what I'm talking about. The cloud, the fear, the doubt, the distance from God, the worthlessness. And then the moment when you just give God a breath into your life. The moment you just say, use me today, and he does, and you're like, man, that is the most incredible thing I've ever felt, and suddenly everything feels right and peaceful again. I know that because I lived that, right? And we all do, right? We wrestle and we struggle with those places in us. And God has called us, in order to be family, in order to come together like Matthew the tax collector and Simon the Zealot, and to spread a message without fighting and struggling and wrestling and being selfish, is to give up yourself and get lost in Jesus, because he has an awesome plan for family. In Romans 12, Paul says, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And you see Paul, led by the Spirit of God, telling the same truth, leading the same way that was happening in the early church, and that was happening in Jesus with Simon and Matthew. There's one body, but man, there's so many different parts. And what we need to know is, when we come together, it's not a bunch of individuals just doing our thing, but it's a family, and we just come right together, and it weaves us and moves us together, and we connect and we click, and it fits right. Your hand in mine, my hand in yours. This is a right fit. It's an incredible fit. And when I am not so worried about me, you look really appealing. But when I'm worried about you, when I'm worried about me, you're just in my way. When my dad was, what do you say about your parents, right? I'm born and they, a little known fact, I was born with my hips dislocated, and they had to do a lot of caring for me as a child to get things strong and strengthened and everything, and here I am, look, wow. But I mean, there was a lot of caring that my parents had to do, and they did. And I remember always being fed well and cared well for, nurtured, and there were struggles. I mean, it wasn't like there were struggles, but they loved me well and with all they could. And I remember growing, and there was a time in our relationship when it became kind of, it was never balanced. Of course, my dad was always my target. My mom was always my target in that family. I mean, honoring them and loving them, and they always teach me to reach on for God, look on for God, keep moving in God. And then there was a time, I'm in college, and my mom calls me, and she's struggling with something, and it's in the family. And she doesn't want to say anything about what it is, but she wanted to know she's struggling. She's struggling with some stuff at work, and she wanted me to pray for her, and she told me about it. And she was counting on me to encourage her. How cool was that? I mean, they were nurturing me all the way through, these folks who were older than me, teaching me, loving me, helping me, leading me. And then one day, my mom was counting on me. And then a few years later, my dad's asking me my opinion about a Bible verse, and can I help him, not because mowing the lawn is my job now, but he just needs some help. Well, I get a help, not because I have to, but because we're like friends, and we like one another and love one another. Man, this is really cool. And suddenly our relationship starts to change because my parents are getting older. And not able to do all the things they used to do, kind of like me as a kid. And it's reversing as I'm growing stronger, and they're still leading me, but needing me to care for them more. And as it unfolded, and my dad would get weaker and weaker with cancer, one day we found out that he had about 2 weeks to live. And all of those times, they became so blessed and so fun up to this point. Well, now this is what we have before us, and it kind of takes your breath, and it's different. but my dad, what they give him an option for is to stay in a medical facility and be treated for pain, or go home. And I remember being in the room when my dad said, "Well, we're family. We're going to keep this between us." And what he was saying was, "I'm coming home, and you're going to care for me, and I'm going to pass on to the other place, to heaven, to the heavenly, to pass on from this life in my home with my family. I'm going to do this in a minute." I mean, what a choice. What a cool choice to get to make, right? This is just between us, and he said that. This is between us. And so I remember the day my dad passed away, and I remember standing at the head of his bed and holding this hand, and one of my brothers on the other side, and another brother, and my sister, and my mom at the foot and at the end of the bed there, and at his feet. And I remember holding his hand. He's breathing kind of hard, and he opens his eyes a little bit, and I said, "Dad, you've fought the good fight. You've finished the race. You've kept the faith. And there's someone waiting for you with a crown. Why don't you go get it?" And 10 seconds later, he just quit breathing. And what I'm saying to you is, we're all in this together. It's about us. It's about God, but it's us, right? We're going to keep this between us. We're going to love well, and we're going to love deeply. We're going to love richly, and we're going to tell truth. We're going to love so well that everybody knows that we're his disciples. In Honduras, this past trip of the family trip, the minister at Mateo quoted the motto of the Tres Mosqueteros, "Todos para uno y uno para todos," the three amigos, the three musketeers. Thanks, Tyler. All for one and one for all. Thanks for the help. See, we're all in this together. All for one and one for all, right? That's really a cool thought. Or if you like, if you're a tween or a teenager, how about this? High School Musical, we're all in this together, right? Disney got something, right? We're all in this together. And just this thought I want to share is, the thought that kept coming back to me when I was working on this sermon was, let's grow old together. Let's all just love them and love one another. Let's breathe deeply. Let's remember that every part of this family is loved dearly by God. We're children of God, and because we're children of God, we are brothers and sisters. We're family. And the way we love one another and the way we care for one another has an incredible impact on the world, because it talks about how wonderful the Father loves them as well. Let's grow old together in Jesus. Let's love one another right on home. And let's raise the younger ones to know it well. Let's encourage and love the older ones on home. And let's just keep doing that and doing that until He calls us all back. What a family. Wouldn't that be so right and good in Him? This morning, if you desire to respond, there's going to be an elder on either side of the auditorium. And if you have not given your life to Jesus, they will baptize you gladly so that you can know that you're part of this family as well. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we could be called children of God. And that is what we are. And that's what you can be today if you want to give your life to Him. And we know you want to. Will you? Or if you struggle in any way, they'll be here to hear your prayer requests as well. Why don't you come as we stand in